Good morning. We are continuing our study of the healing seminars, soon to be New Dimensions in Healing. I finally got around to ordering my book yesterday, so next week I should be able to just read it without marking it all up like I do each week with this book. And I'm looking forward to that. So we're on class number 4, Raise the Dead. That's a good name for this. And Herb says, you may never think of yourself as raising the dead, but that is what you will be doing the moment you go out and agree to stand spiritually with another individual to help lift his consciousness. That is all raising the dead ever meant. So, according to his statement there, that means that Lazarus was stuck in humanhood. He was totally dead to the spiritual level. But Christ Jesus came along and lifted him from out of his deadness to the next level, the spiritual level. And Lazarus wasn't dead to spirit anymore. After that, he lived in the spirit and in the spiritual kingdom, right here. In the healing ministry, we are raising the dead, those who are asleep to Christ. And that is what you will be doing when you open your healing heart to other individuals who need a boost along the way, who have to be reminded that somebody cares, and that somebody is the Holy Spirit. Now, on the lower level, he says, which strangely enough is called the world, but it's really the underworld. And that's what we're in. We're in the underworld. We have the option of God or mammon. The option is always present. And then comes the Christ to show us that it's possible to raise yourself to a level out of the flesh. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We have known Christ after the flesh. Henceforth know we him that way no more. See if this doesn't sound familiar. Above the flesh is the spirit world, where we will have our fifth experience. Above this sense life, there's a universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God living in the household or temple of truth. Doesn't that sound the same? Above the flesh is the spirit world, where we will have our fifth experience. And so, we are now a group with one intention, to raise the dead. And that means our human selfhood. And because we cannot leave our fellow man behind, we must raise the dead universally. And every man must feel the Christ. And then, as Christ in Jesus showed us that life is eternal, Christ in man will follow this course and will attain the eternal life. You see, there really is a new dimension. There really is a new heaven and a new earth. And Christ really does make all things new. And so, Herb says, our function is to remain awake, to achieve total awakeness, to lift ourselves from the fourth realm of mortality, which believes that it dies. In the spiritual world, death is known only as an experience. In the physical world, it's known as the end of life. When matter dies, we think a person is dead. But the matter was never alive to die. The supreme illusion is that we die and we're dead. So that's the supreme illusion. Now, I think in my life, I purposely shut off any psychic abilities. Maybe I followed them in a past life and went off in a direction I didn't need to be in. So I have pretty much no psychic abilities. I don't feel spirits and that sort of thing. And so that means to me that when I feel the presence of the living God, that's exactly what it is. So, he says, if we look at matter and break it down, we have been relegated to a place where we are that matter. And then when the matter goes, we go with it. It decomposes. It joins the rest of the universe, and there's no us anymore. Well, that's according to that belief. Now, they have a name for that. It's called entropy. And it means that everything in the universe that you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, everything, will eventually someday wind down and not be there anymore. The entire universe that you see, but remember, the universe you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not out there. It's in here. It's a veil, and the veil is in world thought. Thoughts about a world. So what is out there? Well, you're standing in the kingdom of heaven, but unawares. So how do you become aware? It begins when you first pick up your first book or hear your first talk from an Infinite Way teacher, and something in you sort of vibrates. Something in you says, that's right. Yes, I know that's right. That's where it begins. Then your interest is piqued. And perhaps you pursue it a little deeply, a little more deeply, and you learn how to meditate. At first, you can't shut off the Grand Central Station head. So you go back and you see, oh, yes, okay, I'm supposed to start with contemplation. So you learn how to contemplate. You contemplate God. You don't contemplate the human, because that's the illusion. So you don't contemplate the illusion. You contemplate God. You contemplate spiritual principles. You may say one to yourself. This morning, for me, it was, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know the I am God. And just that little tweak in the sentence gave it a whole new meaning. And eventually I was able to rest enough to feel that presence. So contemplation leads to meditation, a stillness where you're not battling anything and you're not trying to hold down your thoughts. You're just resting. Thought comes to an end all by itself as you contemplate. And at first you don't feel anything, so you persist. And again, I'll remind you that Joel said it took him 8 months of meditating 12 times a day before he felt the very first nanosecond of the presence. But he persisted for 8 months. And I don't know how long it'll take for you. But when it happens, when you have the experience of feeling that inner presence, you have begun to feel and perceive that spiritual kingdom which you're standing in. And then it opens up and it becomes wider and wider. Getting back to Herb, he says, I was a compilation of atoms, and you were a compilation of atoms. And then finally we became microatoms. Finally we were the smallest particles known to man, which I guess he's referring to neurons and protons and those real tiny particles. People thought that this was what life was made of, and largely the majority of people in the universe still think that is what life is made of, that you are made of these tiny micro atoms. And until you can see through that illusion, you're going to be afraid of death. You're going to fear that this body of yours is going to be taken away. And it's composed of microatoms. They taught me that in class. I remember that. Don't you? Those little models of atoms? And interestingly enough, I was looking at this illusion of atoms, but I wasn't aware that it was an illusion, and I was thinking about atoms. And when I went over to Hawaii and visited Herb, we were sitting and we had a meditation, and then he said, I feel like I need to show you this. And he pulled down a book off his shelf, and it was a book done by Walt Disney. And in it, he showed me the atom and how the atom had really no existence. It's not a solid thing. It's these microatoms whirling around to make it look like a solid thing. And so step by step, he showed me in that book where it's an illusion. The atom itself and the particles are an illusion. And so he says, until you can see through that illusion, you're going to fear death. And he says, then it was seen that there is no life in matter. We understood why Jesus wanted to raise the dead. The belief that there is life in matter leaves you as a prey to every illness in the world, every possible sickness that can occur. Every conditioning is based upon the fact that I live in a body of matter. And the thing I'm really living in is in my belief. But remember, we're taught this belief. When Christ says, choose God or mammon, he's saying mammon is the universe you live in without God. Absent from God means absent from life, because God is life. We have all wandered around the universe as a prodigal. Absent from life. Absent from God. And there's that deep hunger in each of us. We all feel it. We're all searching for something. Something to stabilize us. Something to hang on to. The body that seems there slowly decomposes, and what we thought was there isn't here anymore. And we think we have gone, and we were never in that body. Never. It wasn't possible to be in that body. We have built up a concept of ourself. And again, we'll look at Joel. Herb just said, we have built up a concept of ourself. And Herb said, and Joel says, let us begin with the understanding that our world, the universe in which we live, is the realm of reality. It's the kingdom of heaven, about which we entertain a false concept. Now that's the exact same thing that Herb just said. The work, says Joel, of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not getting rid of or changing a mortal material universe, because there is no such thing. It's a concept, a series of concepts. So our work is correcting the finite concept of our existence. Now that's Joel saying exactly what Herb is saying. Our work is raising the dead. You can't forever remain in illusion. And the answer is that this was the fourth phase of our return to the heavenly Christ. We have to go through it. I assure you, once you're home again, you'll never wander out. There will never be another illusion in your life. We have to learn what truth is, and we have to use truth. Let it use us to lift us. Jesus Christ said, I am the life. I am the resurrection. The Infinite Way has taught us that Jesus didn't say that at all. When you read that in the Bible, you're reading the words that were spoken by Christ, the universal Christ, the Christ in everyone. And then the translation becomes so utterly clear. I, Christ, am the life. I, Christ, am the resurrection. And suddenly you've discovered that I, Christ, am the life. And fortunately for us, I, Christ, is our name. Know no man after the flesh. Know Christ. Plato says, know thyself. But who is thyself? It's not this bundle of bones. It must impress upon you the undeniable fact that the living Christ is the only identity to which you can answer and say, yes, I am that. You must spend your time developing a relationship with the Christ, which in turn will supersede any relationship, and you will be that Christ. That is the only way for survival. That is the only way to get out of the wheel of death and reincarnation, and death and reincarnation. You must be that Christ. And you are. We throw away the labels and we claim identity as the living child of God. So it must be practiced, right? He says, I am omnipresent, and therefore you cannot claim that I am localized. Because when you claim that I am localized, you are stepping out of the realization of identity. Identity isn't one person or another. Identity is the immortal human race. The human race has to awaken to the fact that it's not the dead, dying matter. It is the living, eternal Christ. And every recognition that you give another is raising the dead. And so, as you go throughout your day, Joel said that he used to put a little eye over everyone's forehead. And that reminded him he was looking at Christ, seeing a man or a woman, but looking at Christ. And you may come up with your own little technique. I told you last week, I think, that mine was looking at someone and saying within myself, silently, where you appear to be, I am. And so Herb says, I am the Christ of all men. You open up a whole new universe for yourself, because that is when God proves that everything is possible to God. You are everyone you see. And I don't mean that as a symbolism, he says. I don't mean it as an idea that we're supposed to think about. I mean it's the fact of life. You are everyone you see. And of course that you is the I. And so where you appear to be, I am. All substance is you. There's not another substance in the world. Once you become imbued with this idea, oh, it'll take some time, but once you become imbued with it, and it slowly pulses through you up to your soul, and the realization strikes you, I, the universal Christ, it may take you a year before you can even get yourself to believe it. But someday you must, because it's the only salvation we have. And then, when you're the universal Christ, we see how stupid we have lived. We've lived by the sweat of our brow, by our intelligence, by our will, all the things we thought we had to do to survive, to forge ahead, to protect ourselves. And again, I'm reminded of that man who slammed his fist on the table and said, God has never gotten me a job, when I explained how grace had shown up as a opportunity for employment for me. And boy, that upset him. And maybe he's thought about it since, and maybe he's learned how to practice the principles since. I hope so. Now, Joel uses that word a lot, imbued. A consciousness imbued with truth becomes a law onto our experience. Now that's something Joel would say, or did say. And here, Herb is saying, when you become imbued with it, it pulses through up to your soul and the realization strikes you, I am the universal Christ. In your meditations now, we want to slowly realize that the universal Christ is here. All of the universal Christ is right here. All of the universal Christ is right there. And all of the universal Christ is in every country in the world. The infinite Christ is everywhere, and everywhere it is infinite, and it is I. That's the miracle of infinity. I am perfect in Alaska or Ukraine right now. We have been out with the swine, eating with them, but suddenly there are no swine. We are home with the Father. Now, if you believe a whit of this, it will take you, and it will slowly drain all the iniquities out of your so-called brain. It will drain out of you all of the things that you are not, and you will stop riding two horses. You thought you had to ride on the horse of good and the horse of evil. And you thought you had to live in such a way that you kept the evil out and the good in. In human duality, we all live on those two. It's the same as the tree of good and evil. But where is it? It's in our imagination. Hold to the new idea that your Christhood extends all over the universe. I told you about that meditation I had, and the next step I knew it was going to be infinite. That's why you're master of the tides. That's why you live above time. All things that are temporary have no power to one who is the master of himself. And the only mastery there is to know the truth. To be the truth, you know. And eventually, as all of the truth becomes part of your being, you will find that every emotion, every activity, every thought is divine. And as you climb, climb, climb higher, you're only climbing up to that which you already are completed. It is finished. That's the beginning point of life. That's when we start to live, when we start to explore. We start to have things come to us out of the blue, wonderful things, things that we need but couldn't find. Yes, like that job. When you have the conscious awareness that love will pay your bills, and I've been experiencing that lately, then you see you don't have to live by the sweat of your brow. Oh yes, you have to work. You have to put something forth into the universe. But you don't have to do something you hate doing just for a paycheck. If you go within and you contact that presence, that I, Christ, you will find something that you can do. It will be revealed to you. Some people can paint. Some people can sing. Some people can direct. Some people can manage. They make great managers. Some people can make talks like I'm making. But everybody puts something out once they go within. And then that which they're pouring forth, they love doing. And when you love doing something, it's not work. Okay, so getting back to this, when we look at raise the dead, we begin with, I am the life. There's not one among you, says the Christ, if he's not living the Christ life, who is alive. So there's not one among us who's not living this life that's alive, because you're dead to the presence. You're dead to the kingdom. You're dead to the fifth realm, as Herb calls it. And so you have to awaken, and then you're alive. When you come into the awareness of I, Christ, within you, you are alive. You start living. You are the living Christ expressing. The Spirit of God is always with the child, Christ. And as that Spirit grows in you, when that child grows in you, it's growing into the fifth world of understanding. There's no impediment. Nothing standing in its way. As this Christ grows, you find that you and heaven are one. The Spirit of God is upon you. This child is a symbol of the child that grows in you, ever widening out until your identity has overreached the shores of this world that we know. My kingdom is not of this world. I am the essence of God. My essence is the light of the world. You are provided for by an invisible force. And if we felt a little of that in our lives up to now, just imagine what you'll feel as it develops, as this Christ in you grows. None of this is fanciful or fiction. It is to be lived. You go forth, and you now have the ability, when you go forth, to bring that light in you and to light the light in others. You're doing God's work. Yes, and you can do it silently. I would look at someone across the in the seats across from me on the city bus I was sitting in and realize where you appeared to be, I am. And that's raising the dead, isn't it? Everything you need comes from inside yourself. Your Christ mind provides for its needs, and it reaches in for those needs in the inner world, and then they manifest in the outer world. Whatever is needed must appear. That's the way life should be. That's what happened to me in Houston, Texas, when my car wouldn't start. I went within. Once I got past the panic, and I settled down, and I remembered that God is omnipresent, omnipresence, just as much in Houston as He is in Los Angeles or Orlando or Asheville, North Carolina. And once I realized omnipresence, I felt the presence. And that which I needed flowed out, and the car started and drove me all the way to my destination in Los Angeles, where I traded it in on a new car. So I know this works. I don't know it because Joel said it or Herb said it. I know it because I've practiced it. I've lived it. And I am living it. Well, that's the end of side one. So flip your tape over and we'll continue with side two. First, he gives a lot of advertisement about upcoming talks and books he's working on. Then he gets back into it and he says, When the consciousness that we spoke of dawns on you, you'll know about it. You won't feel alone in the world anymore. Yes, that's the truth. Wherever I am, God is. And I know this too as an experience. There's no place where I am that God isn't. Because I move in my consciousness and God is in my consciousness. You won't feel alone in the world anymore. Something happens inside you, and there's no way to describe it, but you're suddenly about to burst, and yet it's a controlled feeling of exultation. Everyone who has felt it knows what I'm speaking of. That exultation is that at last I have found the spirit in myself, and it is now alive. You see, what we're doing right now is preparing you to go forth with the living spirit. There's nothing else that can heal. If everyone here would go forth with the living spirit, inside of 1 year the world would know about it. Your influence will be felt all over the world. As you grow older and this grows in you, you are eternal youth, and you're not old age anymore. And there's something beautiful about ripening years and ripening consciousness. They go together. Then, lo, you find out you're not older at all. Because there is a kingdom of God here waiting patiently, and Christ born in you is going to take you into that kingdom. Christ is always present, is always a present event, a here event, a now event. And you may be surprised to discover that Christ is working in you in a way you hadn't believed. If the will of God has been given access to your consciousness, and your consciousness has opened, then you have heard the voice. You have heard the Spirit of God knocking, and you have opened the door. Now, let's take a city with an epidemic. That's a patient too. So we're going to perhaps remember the days of COVID-19. He's going to show you how to practice the principle. What can be done when an epidemic breaks out? One person in a group calls you, probably for himself, but he tells you there's an epidemic going on. Well, you work for that person, but when you learn there is an epidemic, you work for epidemic too. Now let's say it's COVID-19. You have the power to do something about it. You have the power to do it in your living room. Let's say it's malaria, whatever it is, and wherever. When it's brought to you by an individual who has been infected by it, you have the right to treat it. And you treat that epidemic just as you would treat the single patient. Where is the epidemic? It's not in a place. That's for the unenlightened. It's not in a place, because there is no place. There is no matter in your consciousness. If there's no matter in your consciousness, there's no material universe. Joel says the structural universe. There's no structural universe. Both of these guys know the same principles, and we have to learn them. We have to practice them specifically in our meditations, specifically when we're doing healing meditations. There is no matter in your consciousness. There is no place. Oh, they'll call it a city, a village, a town. But in your consciousness, that cannot happen in the kingdom of God. And if you're living in the kingdom of God, you'll see to it that it will not happen in your kingdom. But you can't be somewhere else. You can't be back in the world again. You can't be in humanity. You've got to be spirit living in the kingdom of God and appearing on earth. Who's going to do the healing of this epidemic? Why, Christ has done millions of them. You are called upon to bear witness to the perfection of Christ. While the world is bearing witness to the epidemic, how will you go about it? Will you be overcome by the immensity of the task? Or will you just see it as another runny nose? What's the difference if it's an illusion on a small scale or a large scale? You don't believe it. You stand fast. Christ does the work. But you have to stand fast first. And while you're standing fast, taking no thought, realize that this cannot happen in my kingdom. I come forth. And how does I come forth? What brings I into the picture? Your consciousness has prepared the way. I don't believe this epidemic. Christ is the life. There is no epidemic in Christ. I am the life, said Christ. That is the one eternal, infinite life of the universe. And in the presence of God, there is liberty. You have to be the one, the enlightened one, aware of the presence of Christ, because Christ comes through your awareness into the world. You notice how subtle it works? Yes, it takes your awareness. Christ comes through your awareness. And that is why awareness trumps illusion. The invisible Christ comes forth, and you are the door of awareness, which permits him to walk through your consciousness into the world. Now we're using words again that some people may say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? But you have to let these words have their play. Don't get hung up in the words, says Joel. I mean, the invisible Christ comes forth, and you are the door of awareness. Yes, you become aware of the living presence within you, which permits him to walk through your consciousness into the world. It's not really walking through your consciousness out here into a world. We already established the fact that the world is in your imagination. But when you become aware of the presence fills up or fulfills your outer experience. So the only thing out here is the presence. Your awareness of it brings it out here. And you experience it as harmony and harmonious relationships, harmonious body, harmonious finances, harmonious experience. So, to put that into words, he says, you are the awareness which permits him to walk through your consciousness into the world. Christ is becoming a living treasure, not someone reserved in heaven for those who are fortunate. A walking, living Christ among men, as Jesus appeared among men. We all have that challenge ahead of us. And it will come to you sooner than you think. And if you're not ready, it will come again, because you've already been touched by the Spirit. It has prepared you. But it has prepared you for something bigger than you can realize in a moment. It's prepared you not only to heal the sick, it's prepared you to raise the dead. And you will raise them every time you recognize that Christ is the nature of life. Not will be, not tomorrow. Christ is the nature of every life now. Every iniquity in this world happens where Christ is not realized. Yes, how did that plane crash? Because no one on the plane realized Christ. Joel tells the story of being up in the plane and one of the engines went out. And he got quiet and felt the presence, and he knew that everything would be okay. And the plane landed and everyone was safe. So, before you leave in the morning to head for your office, you need to take some time to realize that you move in your consciousness, and consciousness is Christ, and everyone you meet there is Christ. Where you appear to be, I am. All right, so he says, we find that we are lifting the world, raising the dead, awakening those who have slumbered in their ignorance of the invisible Christ. I don't blame them. We can't blame them. It's difficult to know that there's an influence in this world that's being unused. But there is a major influence being unused. We have lived a false life and have not known it. Some label it successful, some label it not, but they all pale to insignificance compared to what we are doing with the Christ of our being. I think we all have the general principle of healing and of living, that we know we must open the door to Christ in our consciousness. Perhaps you would like to know what will happen when you open the door. Well, the Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. There is an all-intelligent eye, an omniscience, and the instant one has come into Christ, that instant registers on the Creator of the universe. That registration on the Creator of the universe becomes the instant that you are under divine law. It means that you walk in an invisible cloud of love. It means that you bring this cloud of love wherever you go. He asks the question, are you aware that you can be self-sustaining forever? That's the nature of God in man. If you think the things you have done are wonderful, you will be very surprised to find that the things you have done in the invisible are even more so. When you hear the word within and you obey, there's nothing in this world that can stand in the way of the living word of God. Absolutely nothing. Sort of like Joan of Arc, huh? Nothing could stand in the way of the word of God. So he gives you a little example here. If you live in an earthquake area, you'll find that even though the earthquake is there, it cannot come nigh thy dwelling. In short, you are protected by an invisible light, and you're aware of that protection. You are the invisible Christ, and if you're still the visible person, you haven't caught the message. You must live in your identity. All right, so now he says, let's take a quick review of what we will begin doing as a result of these lessons. Try to get together with yourself first. If you will, in the afternoon, sit in your room for a little while and be still. You don't turn your mind off, but you develop a capacity to leave it open without thought. It's a very important technique. Later, you will use it often, daily, in fact. Your mind is open, but awake, very alert, and is tuned to something in yourself. And into that consciousness there will come a thought. But it will not be a human thought, and you won't control it. It'll be an impulse, perhaps, and it may take 3 minutes before it happens, or 5, or 20 seconds. That impulse will be saying something that is shaping itself inside your consciousness. And so, the first time it happened to me, I heard very clearly, God needs no prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. And I jumped up and wrote it down, and I've never forgotten it. The next one that came was, I come at a moment ye think not. I used to believe that it meant when you least expect it. That's not what it means. It means when you take no thought, I comes forth. And that was the second one, and there have been hundreds and hundreds since then. I keep them all in a little book. And when I give classes, I read a little bit out of that book. So, you will sit there and you will say, what is this thing I feel inside of me? And you'll make a note of it. And then you'll stay there a little while. And finally, you'll come out of it. You will open your eyes and you will go about your business. But now, this something in you will direct you. It will keep you on a certain path, a certain level, a certain course, until you have been drawn into a relationship, an activity, a job, whatever is needed at the moment. And there it is. Ta-da! You're drawn into a job. So, guy, I'm not the only one. It will take you a step beyond with the spiritual impulse to guide you. And you'll say to yourself, well, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could do this so simply. I didn't know this could be done. Yeah, it happens just like that. The first time I changed careers, I was working in the aircraft industry, but I had this inner feeling, you need to be working with people. And so I went down to a detox in our area, and I didn't know where it was. And I woke up a little late because I'm a late riser. I stay up late, one or two. I woke up late for this interview. I wasn't late yet, but I knew I couldn't get there in time. It's just no way. So I thought, well, instead of taking the highways, the freeways, I'll just sort of zigzag down through town and see where I come out. So I did that. I zigzag on streets, surface streets, and I came out and I looked, and right across the street was the building. I had 2 minutes to go. I pulled in, I walked in exactly right on time. And the guy talked to me and he hired me and made me a counselor. And I became a counselor working with people. So you see, that's doors opening by themselves. You know that the Spirit of God is leading you. You can feel it. You have no explanation. How did I do that? I don't know. God did that. And then some guy will slam his fist down and say, he never got me a job. Anyway, he says, it may surprise you one day and speak to you, but you'll learn that your impulse comes from God. And as you follow it, you are doing the will of God. Again, through your awareness, Christ brings the will of God. It may be a slight thing, unimportant to others, but it'll be important in your life that God notices your ability to follow His commands. So listen for the spiritual impulse within you. You learn to hear your master's voice. And it's not easy at first, but if a dog can hear 500 people and still can tell its master's voice, you certainly can tell your master's voice. It comes very subtly, and that is the most important voice you will hear. Whatever you do then will be ordained and blessed. And that was my experience, and it was ordained and it was blessed. I worked there for a couple of years while I finished my degree. And then I moved across the United States from California to Florida and was hired as a counselor there. So I started working with people and continued working with them, and it was blessed. All right, do you see? Then this book is really written for people that have already experienced that presence. But I try to review this in a way that even if you haven't experienced that presence, you know what you must do to experience that presence. It all begins, well, The Infinite Way should begin with the very first book that Joel recommends, which is Living the Infinite Way, and then moving on to Practicing the Presence. And finally, if you're practicing the presence, The Art of Meditation. And when you put those two together, according to Joel, and according to my experience, and according to Herb, when you're practicing the presence and you're meditating, you will have the inner experience of I, Christ. And if you don't like that term, you'll have the inner experience of God. And if you don't like that term, you'll have the inner experience of the presence. Those two together, practicing the presence, and he gives you several principles in that book and in Living the Infinite Way. If you're practicing those principles and practicing meditation, the two together will bring you to the experience. And once you've had the experience, you can begin to let it take over your life and the direction of your life. And the reason why I brought up that zigzagging through the city and coming out right where I should be is so that you could know that the difference between that inner voice and the one that says, go buy a lotto ticket and put down 1, 17, 23, 45, 58. And you go buy a lottery ticket and nothing happens. You don't even get one number, or maybe one. See, they're two different voices. And the one voice, it leads you gently, subtly, and the doors open almost by themselves. You find yourself at the right place at the right time. It's wonderful. And the other voice, you have to push, you have to force, and it's not right. If you have to force it, it's the wrong voice. If the doors open almost by themselves, it's the right voice. You can trust it. Wow, these hours go by fast. Let's have a moment of silence. See if there's anything else needed to be said. Oh, yes, I want to thank you, whoever you are in England, who sent that gift. Thank you very much. You didn't put a name on it, so I assume you want to be anonymous. So I am looking at it as the Father sent it through you from England, or the United Kingdom. So thank you for being an instrument. And thank you, all of you listening, for drawing forth this talk. I hope there are some principles you can grab and practice that bring you into a moment of rest and bearing witness to I, Christ, within you. Thank you.